said, thank God for Peter. I mean, he blew it out of the water. He did. So have I. You know that, right? Oh, praise God. He wrote that song too, Don Francisco. If you ever get a chance, get an old CD called He's Forgiven by Don Francisco. That song's on it, and a lot of other songs that he wrote too. Okay. A CD is a compact disc that replaced, it was new technology that replaced the old cassette tapes. Remember? 8-tracks, yeah, 8-tracks. That was a short-lived deal. You know, and the thing is, the band I was in, the Christian band, we just did an album. It was just released in 1979. And within a year, albums were obsolete. It was all CDs. And I'm like, huh? Albums are coming back, though. Praise God. You know, you always think, was that bad timing? Don't worry, it'll come back. It'll come back. Oh, something I want to just hook on here. In the lyrics in that song, he says, John outran Peter to the tomb, and John very reverently just kneeled outside the tomb looking in, and Peter just come on, you know, he just bowled right in, and he said, all I saw there was an empty shell. You know, you see the pictures of linen just lying flat. That's not the way it was. It was an empty shell. You know how we know that? See, the Hebrews got a lot of the embalming, you know, this is what Mary was coming with the spices the next day to finish the embalming process. What they did is Joseph of Arimathea came down with 100 pounds of spikenard. That's that gluey stuff that they use, and they take the strips of linen and they take it down into like 1 inch, 1.5 inch strips like this. And they put that sticky stuff on it and start with a toe and another toe and then the foot and then the feet together and everything. And they do it until they use up 100 pounds of spikenard. They've done this in labs and found that casing would have been about 1.5 inches thick around him. And that hot, arid 3 days and three nights in the tomb, it wasn't Friday to Sunday morning. It was Wednesday to Saturday. I don't want to blow anybody's bubble here. It still rose from the dead.
Yes.
All right. But but when they came in, he saw an empty shell. Only slit was right here, right by the face, and that's where Mary was going to put the spices in his mouth to finish the embalming process that they learned from the Egyptians when they were in Egypt. And it was passed down from generation to generation. And so if you've ever had a problem with the resurrection, just know this, that for the next 46 days until the day of Pentecost, that, what would you do if Mary came down and said, they moved, and they went, and they saw the empty shell. It says, John went in after that and saw and believed. What did he see? It was an empty shell. Anybody could have empty bandages or whatever, but this was an empty shell. Nobody could have gotten out of that. And then Mary sees him. And she says, where have you taken, you know, if you've taken him somewhere, please let me know. She thought he was the gardener. You know why? He was bending down and smelling flowers. Jesus loves flowers. He loves them. People who have been to heaven and came back, he loves flowers. They say, you should see the flowers that he has in heaven. Just unbelievable. Colors that you can't even imagine. They're off our spectrum. But God's spectrum is endless. But there are so many infallible proofs, it says in the first chapter of Acts. We just heard from the second chapter of Acts, but the first chapter of Acts says that there are many infallible proofs of his resurrection. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Because, you know, we can get into all the facts and we can get into all of that and say, isn't that wonderful? But what do you do with all of that? How does that apply to me? How does this, what does this mean to me? What does him raising from the dead, how do I apply that in my life? What does it mean? A man died 2,000 years on a cross, he rose from the dead. What's that to me? Well, Paul explains it to us because it's what happened to him. He was born again. You know, because as long as religion can keep it in the theoretical, in the philosophical, it means nothing. But as soon as you get that personal relationship, that personal fellowship with Jesus, then it all becomes a living reality. And it's no longer just religion, something you do. It's something you've become, and you will be for eternity. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ constrains us. This is all love. It has nothing to do with judgment, fear, or anything like that. For the love of Jesus, love of Messiah, constrains us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. Jesus came to give life to a world that was filled with dead people. They were walking. They were physically alive. They were mentally there. I mean, they had a soul and a body that were functioning in the earth, but the spirit within them was dead. That's what he means. The death has many different definitions in the Bible, and in this one, he's talking about spiritual death that we inherited from Adam. When Adam sinned, he died. It took him 930 years later to fall over, but he died. His spirit took on the nature of the one that he obeyed, which is Satan. Death, that dead spirit. And since he was created to reproduce after his own kind, the unborn human race still in his loins was reproduced with a dead spirit. That's what Jesus came to fix and give us a recreated human spirit. You've heard us talk about that a lot. But he came to give life to those who are already dead. Verse 15. And somebody's just coming in. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You know, Good Friday, we had a service here. We had the sweetest worship, and powerful worship. And I want to thank the worship team. And also this morning, now, we heard from Scott, Dwight. We've heard from John in the past. Even Phil gave an offering message one time. And I just love the completeness of this whole thing. And it's just a wonderful thing. Beautiful, beautiful thing. But we're not dead. We're alive. We have risen with him. When you were born again, the Bible says in Romans that the Spirit of Christ was formed in you. The Spirit of Messiah was formed in you. Because it says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. But if you're born again and receive him, your spirit is identical with Jesus. The Apostle John wrote this in 1 John chapter 4, 17. You can write this down, but it says, as he is at the right hand of the Father, risen Christ, so are we in this world. The problem is, most of the church doesn't know about it. They keep on depending on circumstances to shape their future. You don't have to do that. You don't have to wait for God to do it. He's already done everything. And then he gave a complete redemptive package to you and said, here, this is yours. Work it. Work it. Work it. Work it. This is the way it works. The Word will give you the directions. The Holy Spirit will make them alive to you so that they won't be just like a dead letter. They'll be a living road. You'll become a dynamo. In fact, that's what dunamis means. It's what we call dynamo or dynamite. It's a self-energizing power that is already in you. It's the same power that Jesus called virtue. He said, I have felt virtue go out of me. The word is dunamis. Why? Because he was a dynamo waiting somewhere to go, you happen. And a dynamo of healing power to a sick world. Love power. Love that people just couldn't get over to a hateful world. A joyful to a sad world, a sorrowing world that had nothing to look forward to except death. And then later, taxes. You know, you put a government in place, they'll figure out a way to make it a money machine. The sad thing is, like the Sanhedrin in the old Jewish religion, they found a way to turn the temple into money. And that was totally corrupt. And Jesus called on him twice. He purged that thing at the beginning of his ministry and at the end. And the sad thing is, there's a lot of pastors and a lot of churches who figured out how to turn the gospel into money. Yeah. And they lose so much because money is a very poor form of prosperity. Okay. It's one of the lower, it's because you can get a fortune. You know, there's that old song by the... who was that group that sang Georgie Girl? Hey there, Georgie, Australian group. They sang a song. If you gave me a fortune, my treasure would be small. I could lose it all tomorrow and never mind at all. But if I should lose your love, dear, I don't know what I'd do, because I know I'll never find another you. Ba-da-da-da-da-ba. Seekers. That was it, the Seekers. You'll never find another one like Jesus. You know, if he says to give your money here, you know, we're happy to have the money come in. We're happy to have it go out. It's about him. It's about his purposes. If you miss that, you miss everything. And you'll stand up before him and go, ha, ma, ha, ma, ha, ma, ha, like Jackie Gleason would do, ha, ma, ha, ma, ha. That was before most of your time, I guess, but I enjoyed those. You got to get in tune with him. Amen. You know, it would be a shame for him to go through all of that. Defeat death, hell, the grave, all everything, rise from the dead, give you a brand new life, recreate your human spirit and give you everything that heaven could possibly cram into your spirit. And you just live the same life you've always been living. With the same objectives, the same me first thing, the same I gotta have this attitude. You get to wake up, address the one who is sitting at the right hand of God and say, what are we gonna do today, Lord? Show me. And then you don't hear from him right away, so you go out, scoot, and do what you always did. Stay there until you get your orders. You know, Paul said, we're soldiers. Soldiers wait for orders. This is why I've got to be told from him to do something before I do it. I got an invitation to speak at a men's meeting not too long ago, and I said, you know what? The Lord is not calling me to do that. I have to do something else. And, you know, they got a little out of touch with me after that. And, you know, it's fine. I don't expect them to understand my relationship with God. I just don't expect him to do that. But I'm going to do what he needs to tell me what to do before I do it. I don't write my own orders. I don't write my own schedule. I follow him. I know his voice. I hear his voice. He leads me and I follow him. And the voice of another, I will not follow. Period. Done. Exclamation point. End quote. You know, somebody died for you and gave you a second shot at life, or a third shot, or like me, an umpteenth shot at life. If that person died for you, you'd probably be pretty overcome with gratitude, wouldn't you, to that person. If they died for you, you'd have to be really grateful. I mean, that would be the normal response. Maybe you're not normal, but are you? Come on, guys, chime in here with me. You're part of this. What you know, this is why I say, did you pray for me this week? Because I'm speaking into your life. You better be praying for me. But that person would be dead. You'd be alive. You'd have another shot at life, but they'd be dead. However, this one, this is referring to somebody who gave their life for you, went to hell to pay for everything, every debt that you could possibly have to God. You can walk with joy knowing that your debt is paid and that your name is clear before the Father. Why? Because you're so good? No, because He is. And He died for you, and His blood washed away all of that stuff, so God looks at you just the same way He looks at Jesus. You say, I don't believe that. Well, that's up to you, but that's what the Bible says. And you can take it or leave it. I would take it, because there's two ways you can pay for sin. Did you know that? There's two ways you can pay for sin. One is that you can go to hell for eternity. That's one way that you can pay for your sin. The other way is to put your faith in the blood of Jesus and let that blood work in you the cleansing and the purging that you need, and let it do a perfect work in you so that then you can in turn go and have every perfect work blessed of God. I'd take door number two. That's what I would do. In fact, I did that on July 20th, 1975. It was my 24th birthday. You know, my birthday is the same spiritually as physically. When I was born into this world, I mean, it was, it was a downhill track until I was on my 24th birthday, I got born again. I was an atheist. In fact, I was so strong an atheist, I made a religion out of my atheism. Because you have to protect those things that you know isn't true. You just know it in your heart. But in fact, Romans chapter 1 says we all know it. We all know that there's a God. You can go out in the deepest, darkest bush of a continent to somebody who's never seen anybody but his own race, and he can look at all this and know that whoever made this is bigger than he is. God is big. We were out in Colorado a couple years ago, me and my brother, looking up at one of these 14,000 foot peaks, and whoever made this, man, is big. And God is so big that if you didn't know He loved you, you'd be scared of Him, thinking if He moved, He's going to squash you. But He is so big. And as big as He is, that's how gentle He is. That's how loving He is. That's how perfect He is. That He can create an immense, not just this solar system, this galaxy, but all of the galaxies. You know, they come back with these, I forget the spacecraft that goes out and takes all these pictures and everything, and it's still going out and out and out and out, and radio back these pictures. Voyager. Is that right? Okay. But to me, that's just stunning. And that same God took enough time and enough care and enough love to say, I got to go help them. I don't want them to spend eternity in hell. I want them. I, in fact, it fulfills His love because He is love, and love fulfills by expressing that love and not demanding anything. So He laid it all down. He says, you don't have to do anything back except one thing that will please me, that will complete the deal, and that's if you receive me by faith. You can't do enough works. Because how much is enough? And the more you do, the higher the bar gets. But the blood was shed, boom. And the day came when justice was settled at the cross. And what justified all of that was the resurrection. Because that means that God accepted his sacrifice for you. And he proved it with the resurrection. And he stands with God now for you as your intercessor, your advocate. He is the Lord Advocate General of the church. He is the head of the body of Christ. He is so intimately sending messages all the time to his body, and you're part of his body. He's always speaking to you. He's always talking to you. He's always telling you, go to the blood, go to the blood, go to the blood, go to the blood, go to my word, go to my word, do my word, just do my word, just do that. And the devil's sitting there accusing you and blaming you for everything in the world and all of these thoughts. Don't identify. Those are not your thoughts. That's his suggestion. But we don't, you know, have a suggestion box here for the devil. Have him drop them in there and then burn it. Isn't that a good idea? Lynn liked that. That he died for all, that they which should live should not henceforth live to themselves. You know what? Hello. You get to do this. You can live. You know, what this means is not live to yourself. It means, look, you have a will, right? That will has created a lot of different agendas, a little plan here and there, a big life plan maybe, a big vision for your life, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I figured out what I'm going to. No, you get to say no, because you are crucified with Christ, nevertheless you live. Let not you, but the Christ lives in you. And the life that you now live in the flesh, you live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for you. You don't have to figure everything out. You don't have to get everything right. You don't have to be a success in the eyes of everybody else. You don't have to do all that. You get to follow his plan for your life, his will for your life. He said, this is why he prayed, give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God so that they will know, flood their eyes with of their understanding with light so that they'll know the hope they're calling to. You don't need to figure out that. Your calling in life. You just need a revelation of who you're created to be and the hope he's called you to. Amen? I said, amen?
Amen.
Good. He's done. He's picked up all the heavy rocks for you. He's carried the cross. He did all of that. And he rose from the dead to make you everything that you were created to be. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we knew Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth now know we him no more. We don't know him. I wrote this down. We get to see Jesus the way he is in his risen, resurrected, glorified state right now. We don't have to get a limited vision of who he was when he walked on the earth. He was a man when he walked on the earth. He was all God and he was all man. But the God part of him, he took and laid aside. And everything that he ever did, he didn't do because he was God. He did it because he was a man who was anointed with the Holy Spirit, who ministered as a prophet and a teacher under the Abrahamic covenant, who went and by that covenant and walking in the love of God fulfilled all the law. Remember we went over that? You don't have to fulfill all the Ten Commandments. You don't do that. No, you walk in love and then you won't break the Ten. And if you do, you have a fountain of blood right there speaking to the Father on your behalf. You can go there anytime. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation. That means the total satisfaction for our sin, and not ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. There is more than enough. Just think of this solar system that we have. You've got the sun in the middle, right? You've got the earth here. You've got the other planets. And the sun just beams light in every possible direction, right? It's an orb. I mean, it's just every possible light and heat. There's only a little tiny sliver of light that this earth actually uses and needs for its warmth, and it's perfect. That's the way God's mercy is. There's more than enough mercy. That blood bought total mercy. More than enough mercy, more than enough grace, more than enough faith, more than enough for everything that you possibly need. And when you start walking like all that is true, you're going to have victory after victory after victory, and people are going to want to know what you got. That's the truth. They want. What's this? I mean, look at the magazine racks. Peace. True love. What are they looking for? That's what they're looking for. They're looking for peace. They're looking for love. They're looking for acceptance. They're looking for somebody listen to me. You know, and life shouldn't be about how many, you know, what is it? Friends on Facebook. Followers on Facebook. It shouldn't be about that. You're accepted in the Beloved by God Himself. And you don't have to get your identity from how many followers you got. No, you follow God. Let's raise the dead, and then you'll have enough people following you that you don't know what to do with. They'll be sniffing around at your door. And the reporters, can you get this? If there were reporters, CNN was there when Jesus walked on the water. Roll it. Jesus. This is just covered. Jesus, can you go do that again? Just walk on the water for us, will you? Get the camera on this. Because all they want to do is interview him to twist around and create a whole new narrative that has nothing to do with him. That's why if anybody ever would, can we interview you? No, I carry on my conversations with one who doesn't twist the truth. He did that in the garden, and I speak to God. He twisted the word in the garden. That's all he does ever since. That's all he knows how to do is twist the truth. It's 5:30 lunch here. I mean, 5:05. Got to get going. Verse 14. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live to themselves, but to him who died for them and rose again. He came to give. He came to give life to a dead world. Praise God. Verse 16. Wherefore henceforth we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now we henceforth know him no more. What does that mean? Well, if you saw it in the paper, you'd probably believe everything. You'd know exactly what it means. But if you read it in the Bible, they say, what in the world does that mean? You ever notice that? All of a sudden, it's a mystery. We are no longer to limit or relate our thinking, limit our believing, limit our vision, limit our identity to the limitations that Jesus had when he was a human in human form walking on the earth. He is far above that, and so are you. He is the risen Christ living in a glorified body at the right hand of God. And that body, by the way, extends all the way into this earth. And you're part of it. Energized and filled with the Spirit of the living God. Filled with resurrection power and resurrection life. Because you know who lives in you is not the Jesus that walked on this earth. The risen Christ, who already defeated hell, death, the grave, and everything, and rose above it. Man, he can get you out of anything. Because he lives in you. He's already defeated the devil. He's defeated the source of all your problems. He can get right to the meat of it, right to the root. And just pull it right out. And all peace. Just like the Sea of Galilee. Just a great calm. He can speak right to it. and he is praying for you. He is your advocate. He is your lawyer who takes your case to the Father, and he knows how to win his cases. That's all he knows how to do is victory. He never failed at one thing. You ever notice that? He never failed. He never got into a place, into an argument with people where it was, he never lost. They argued and everything. He said something, boom, it was done. That's the way he speaks to the Father about you. You've got to understand the power of this thing. I don't know about you. You getting anything out of this? Jesus is in your business. He knows everything. And the thing is, he knows everything there is to know about you, everything there is to know about you, and he still loves you. He can't help the shape you're in, but you can decide to just do what his word says to do. And as you do the word will start to form in you and start to take that clay and start molding it. Amen. And you'll begin to see who you really are in the spirit. One of his. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Creation, that word means a new species of being who has never existed before. Devil doesn't know how to deal with you. Is a new creature. All things are passed away. Your spirit is not a renovated model of who you were. It's not just a fix. It's not just a patch. That's what the wine sack and the patch on the dress was all about when he said, no, we don't do that with old wineskins. You pour new wine into old wine, it'll burst and everything goes. No, you're a new creature. You are created to carry God. Your spirit was designed to house God. Amen. The Spirit of God, the Son of God, and the Father of God. He said, we will come and dwell in you. Amen. Who you were is gone. Do I still think the same way? Yeah, probably do. Because your mind wasn't born again. You got to get your mind renewed, the Bible says. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. And all things are become new. In other words, he's talking about the new creation here. So everything about you is new, your spirit. And all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what we should be doing. Reconciling the world unto God with our words, our actions, with our prayers. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. He was imputing them to Jesus on the cross. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed to us. This is amazing. He's committed all of that and entrusted us with the delivery of his reconciling word of love to this world. And he'll help you do it. He is a helper. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. He's the risen Christ. Amen. Don't look at him like he was. Look at him like he is.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, anchor us in this word. Anchor this word in us. Anchor, change our thinking and our vision to see that all we have to do is hear your voice. Follow you and let you handle the results. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father, because it's grace. It's not works. It's grace. If you have never accepted Jesus, never come to the place where you said, I am placing my faith in Jesus Christ right now. There is a time that needs to be done in your life. I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. You can pray this prayer. Remember, God loves you. He doesn't demand anything. He loves you. Say this. Everybody pray this together. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that his blood was the total price for all of my sins and that it has been paid for. I can walk with joy knowing that my debt is paid and that my name is clear before my Father. I ask you to forgive me through the blood of Jesus. Forgive and heal my life. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. From this moment forward, right now, and I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to come up here afterwards and we'll pray for you. If you meant it, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to become a member of a church. You don't have to sign away your life or anything like that. Where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. There's freedom. All right, or family. You didn't come into a system of laws or legalities. You came into a family with a Father who loves you. Amen. So we want to pray with you and give you some information, too, that will be helpful for you. You are dismissed.